Welcome back to the Solitude and Single Track podcast, where we talk about our lives as off-grid RV nomads, traveling with our dirt bikes, all things moto, and other off-grid related topics. I'm Zoe Anderson, your host on this podcast, and I am back from a pretty short break from podcasting and doing other social media things. I've been finding it really difficult to get motivated to do anything, and sometimes content creation takes a lot more emotional energy than we have, and that's kind of where I've been. My emotional energy battery has been super low, and it's been really hard to find the motivation to do anything. So I'm trying to get myself pumped about it. I don't know if it's the weather, seasonal depression, not being in the woods, who knows what it is. I'm trying to get back into it and doing more stuff, editing YouTube videos, making more podcasts, creating more content, all the things. So here I am. I'm back. If you wondered, you probably didn't because I don't have a lot of followers, but whatever. So today, I would like to talk about our plan for the next 3 months since we are off-grid RV nomads, or we claim to be. In a way, we kind of live our life by the seat of our pants, or flying by the seat of our pants. I completely messed up that quote. And we don't say no to opportunities that are presented to us. So like I've said in other podcasts, we do live most of the year off-grid. And I only say most of the year because last year, our original intention was to travel around, staying on mostly public land, abiding by the 14-day rule, traveling from, you know, the north to the south, based on the weather and just being RV nomads. Well, around the time that we went to take our grand voyage, we found an opportunity to become volunteer camp host at a OHV area here locally. And we ended up committing to it and trying it out to see, you know, we'll be close to family, we'll be close to friends, we'll be close, you know, we won't be traveling around, and that can kind of get our feet wet in becoming RV nomads and being off-grid for a huge amount of time. And in that 7 months, we absolutely fell in love with camp hosting. We love volunteering, we love doing all that stuff. So it put a kibosh on our travel plans because we want to continue to do that. Not necessarily for that organization and that area, but all around. So I think that all things do happen for a reason. And although it changed our direction in life from traveling and being these RV nomads, living this glamorous traveling life, I feel like giving back to the community that we love and conserving the areas for off-road recreation that we enjoy is much more important than our own travel plans. Plus, we kind of enjoy it more than we enjoy traveling. If you've ever traveled with a travel trailer or you've ever lived in a travel trailer, you know how stressful traveling days can be, and it really, really stresses us out, even though we do it fairly regularly. When you live in a travel trailer and you're traveling with it, it puts a whole lot more stress on you every time you load it up and, you know, go somewhere, because that's your home. All your belongings are in there. If anything happened, you're SOL. I mean, you're completely done. Like, all your stuff is gone. So, in all honesty, I don't know if we ever will be true RV nomads. I don't know if we will ever travel. I mean, we do want to travel a little bit, but we don't want to travel full time. Our end game would be to buy property and build a house. But right now, we enjoy what we do, and we enjoy volunteering for large portions of the year. And we would volunteer and camp host more if we found a position in the winter months to do so. That's kind of where we're at. So, that being said, we have a specific set date that we will be back off-grid. Before, I didn't really know, and now it's officially March 25th. We're leaving, and we're going to go be in the woods and play forest fairies for a few months again. Today is January 30th, which means that we don't have a whole lot of time to get ready to go and be off-grid and be forest fairies. So, we're trying to get our entire laundry list of stuff done that needs done in that amount of time. And we've been working on our stuff slowly, but there's some really, really big projects that we've been waiting on parts for, and I don't want to say procrastinating, but just haven't been able to do because of various things. Like I mentioned, sickness and holidays and other projects have taken priority. So a lot of these big projects, we are needing to get done ASAP. Right now we are staying at Taylor's mom's house, and she has been remodeling her house for the last few years. And last year we did a lot of the remodel for her and helped her a lot. And it's almost completely done. It's about 90% done. The last thing that needs completed is the master bathroom remodel, which has been a project for 7 years. So that's our current goal. It's long story short, it's been passed on through a lot of hands, and other lots of people have been doing work on it, and basically we need to step in and finish the job. So that's what we're doing, and it's been a little bit of a nightmare because of all the people that have touched the work and done all the things and the parts. And yeah, it's taken us a lot longer than expected, plus we're, you know, doing the best we can. So I think that now we only have a few weekends, if not one weekend, left of work to do on the bathroom, and then we can move on to our bigger projects, like the trailer. The trailer is probably the biggest project that needs 100% needs completed before we go be off grid. The biggest project that needed done, which is done now, is our truck that pulls the trailer. Our 1978 C10 had lost the clutch slave cylinder while we were off grid, and we kind of, you know, kept bleeding the clutch, hoping that it would, you know, pull the trailer. It basically pulled the trailer 2 hours away back over here, and then it gave out. So the truck has been sitting for months, not being able to be driven because it's been waiting on parts and also lacking the motivation to, you know, pull the transmission out of the truck. But that got done a couple weeks ago, so the truck is drivable, towable, that's ready to go. But the trailer needs some stuff done. There's nothing wrong with it, but it just needs some basic stuff done. You know, the pre-trip things, wheel bearings, check all the stuff. All that silly maintenance stuff needs done. We're going to get up on the roof, check all the seals, re-caulk it if we need to. And we also found out last summer that the biggest project isn't so much the pre-trip stuff, but we found out last summer that we don't have enough solar. When we initially bought our solar stuff, we had planned on, like I said, traveling, staying in the Northwest for the summers and then Southwest for the winters. We had planned on having full sun all the time. Well, we don't. We are in Oregon all the time now, and 800 watts of solar is just not enough if we don't get full sun for a full day. So the spot we were in when we camp hosted was not super treed, but it was treed enough to where we were in the shade for part of the day. So we'd really only get like 4 to 5 hours, if that, of full sun. And since our panels are flat mounted, they are not as efficient as they could be if they were able to be moved. So 800 watts isn't cutting it because we're just not using the solar as it's not cutting it. So we are beefing up our solar setup, and I mean massively beefing it up. We are over doubling it, and we have an additional 1,000 watts of solar that we're going to be putting on and adding to the system. And that seems like overkill for what we have, because if you've seen our trailer, it's very small. We don't have a whole lot that relies on electricity, but we don't want to worry about running out of solar. We don't want to worry about any of that. If we could be in a position where we didn't need a generator at all, that would be perfect. I don't think we're going to be in that position, but if we can run the generator like, gosh, a quarter of the amount that we had to last summer, that would be fantastic. So right now we have 4 100-watt panels mounted on the trailer and 4 100-watt panels mounted on our pickup truck. After some measuring and careful planning, we have decided we can build a roof rack that mounts to the trailer to put 14 entire panels on. Now it's going to overlap the edges of the trailer a little bit, and it has to be tall enough to clear the AC in the vent, and it has to be able to be like moved in an easy and accessible way so we can access the roof in case anything were to go awry, or the air conditioning or the vent, anything like that. So Taylor's been planning and modeling a new roof rack for the trailer, which we have everything except the roof rack materials to do. If we have that much solar, I can get the Ninja Foodie oven back, and then I'll have an oven, and then we can possibly upgrade a refrigerator and get a bigger refrigerator so we can cut down our trips into town if we can store more food. So having more solar not only cuts down the use of the generator, but also kind of gives us more room to have more things that would make our lives a little easier. Another issue with the trailer is not really the trailer's fault, but more of our fault, is that we're out of space. I mean, plain and simple, the trailer's small and we're two people and we have a lot of stuff. And people have commented on our trailer build and basically called it an organized clusterfuck. And that's fine. And it really is an organized clusterfuck. and we just have a lot of stuff that we need to have. And having such a small space and not having like a storage unit or anywhere to put our stuff that we're not, that's not in use, like summer versus winter clothes. Like we have to have all of our clothes in the trailer. We have to have all of our stuff, all of our tools. Everything has to live in the trailer that we don't want outside when we're, you know, off grid. We could downsize, but like I've mentioned, our end goal is to eventually buy property and build a house. So all those tools we're gonna need, all the tools we do pretty much use at some point in time. So we can't really, really downsize. And even though the tools and everything take up a lot of real estate, it's just not feasible to get rid of them. As I've mentioned before, we are on the hunt for a cargo trailer because that would free up space. That would essentially create a rolling garage for us where we could store all of our tools and unused items as well as the dirt bikes and have a nice, clean, dry space for all of that stuff to live in permanently. However, that's been put to the side a little bit as all of our money has been going to other projects like the truck and the bikes and the roof rack and solar for the trailer. So we have another, you know, what is that, month and a half, 2 months to save up for a cargo trailer, which we'll get to. I'm sure we'll figure something out. That's kind of an important thing. It doesn't seem very necessary, but having a lot of that stuff in the trailer gone and also just having that dry space for the bikes would be a huge game changer. Because they lived in a tent for the last 7 months outside, and while that's not directly in the weather, it still took the toll on them, and there's just a lot of stuff that was weather related that was wrong with the bikes. So we learned our lesson. They need to be in dry space. The way the trailer is configured kind of sucks right now. So we have a normal queen size bed mounted in the trailer, and there's just no room. And the bed can fold up into a couch. We call it our futon bed. But even then, there's not a whole lot of room, and the couch is a little bit uncomfortable just in the angle that it has to be in to give us that walkway. The idea of us having a smaller trailer is to spend more time outside than indoors. The whole idea is to force us to get outside and do the things outside and actually live instead of sit on our phones and be hermits. So we don't need a 40-foot toy hauler. We don't need a cinema and a full living room, you know, two whole bathrooms and a full bedroom and thing like that. We don't need any of that because the outdoors is our living room. The outdoors is our dining room. But when the weather sucks, it kind of sucks to be cramped up in the trailer when you have like 2 feet of walkway in the kitchen. It gets a little bit frustrating. And so we are trying to plan on building some hard sides on the trailer because the two sides do fold out into canvas tip outs, canvas tents, and I've taken the canvas off and we just leave it all closed up unless we want it to be open and like a porch. Taylor is a mad genius when it comes to designing and building things that are rather unorthodox. And sometimes I will admit that I don't see his visions until it's complete, but I just go along for the ride. So he has a whole idea of building a hard-sided tip-out side for the trailer. So I'm super stoked about that. That's not going to be something that we're going to get done anytime soon. That's probably going to be a project that we do off-grid because it's not super important. But the roof rack and having the solar is important because we do need those multiple trips to the hardware store most likely. And it's just going to be a lot easier when we have access to, you know, dry space in a house and stuff. So hard sides, they'll get done. And it's going to be difficult to do on the budget that we have. But I think that Taylor has a really good plan for it so far. Something that we have to consider is that our axle on the trailer is only rated for about 5,000 pounds. So we have to make sure that it's lightweight. So aluminum, while it's lightweight, having that much plus the insulation and the cost of aluminum is just going to be way too much. So we are kind of thinking about doing something out of what people call poor man's fiberglass, which in our case, we're going to use layers of canvas and latex paint to create basically fiberglass panels and use those as the sides. And that sounds really silly and really crazy, but you know what? Everything that we do sounds silly and crazy, so let's do it anyways. What other updates? Oh, riding. We haven't been riding a whole lot. We recently did a trail work day with a local organization. That was a lot of fun. We got to go ride in a new area. We got to meet some new people and help keep some BLM land open for riding. After that, we really haven't ridden too much at all. between, you know, the holidays and the weather and everything. It hasn't been exactly easy, plus all these projects. All of our weekends have been taken up by doing things that aren't, you know, having fun. So I did get a new action camera, though. I got an Insta360, and I've used that a couple times, so I have some pretty good riding footage of the last few times that I have gone riding that I'm really excited to upload, so keep an eye out for that, maybe, if you care. If not, oh well. I have been at least trying to keep up on the balance exercises in the garage or in the backyard and trying not to tear up the grass. So that's been pretty much the extent of my riding lately. Oh yeah, so the bikes need work. And the bikes can be done off-grid, but we're really hoping to get them done while we're here so we have a garage and everything to work with. So the two 300s need some love, but nothing major. But all of it's just pretty much maintenance items. Taylor's bike is due for a top end. It needs wheel bearings, the brake pads, and I think a couple other things. And my cross trainer needs a chain, a new O-ring for the expansion chamber, and the rear shock, the nut on the rear shock is totally FUBAR, so I need to replace that. Or the collar, you know, the nut and collar thing, that's screwed up. So that needs replaced. We have the full wrap Sycra hand guards on both the bikes, and they've been dropped a million times, and so the ends have bent so far out that we have, they're really hard to get on and off. So we have some of the threaded bar end inserts that we're going to be putting in. That's a really small thing. So, you know, just little things that need done, but still, it takes time. It takes time and an effort to get all that crap done. And for my bike, I've been kind of procrastinating doing any work because I've been debating selling my cross trainer, and there's nothing wrong with it, but sometimes I just feel like I need to upgrade, and suspension is probably the biggest struggle for me right now. I'm not a fast rider, but I'm getting to the point where the really soft suspension on the cross trainer is hindering me in some of the faster stuff. When I choose to go fast, I really don't like, I will never race ever, I don't think. I want to try to do a race, but I know I'm not going to do very good because I'm just so slow. And it's not that I can't ride fast, I just don't like to. And I have a lot of mental roadblocks that prohibit me from going super fast. So I've been thinking about upgrading to a 300RR, but my cross trainer's paid off. It's lightweight, it's got low seat height. I really like the bike. So it's like either spend $3,000 switching the suspension on my bike into something nicer that works, or sell my bike and buy something for the money I sell it with that already has nicer suspension that I can get it set up for my weight. So that's kind of where I've been with that. It's also more convenient to have matching bikes, so they they share parts. That's what we did on the trials bikes. We have two 2022 Beta Evos. One's a 200, one's a 250, but they share a lot of the same parts, and that's really convenient having two bikes that, you know, share plastics at the very least, and air filters and things like that. The cross trainer and the 300RR don't, even though they are both 300s from Beta. I think that there's a lot of parts that don't interchange on them, so it's a little bit frustrating. And it also kind of sounds stupid, but there's the stigma around the cross trainer that it's a beginner's bike, or people call it the ladies bike or whatever. And I don't like that because it's it is pretty much a full sized bike. It's a full 300 two stroke, but from factory, they come watered down. My bike is completely uncorked. It's had all the mods done to where it's actually faster than the 300RR, but something about when people ask you, oh, what kind of bike do you have? And I'm like, a cross trainer. And they're like, oh, how predictable, you're a woman. It's kind of frustrating. But I shouldn't get a new bike for the sake of people looking down on me because I own a cross trainer. There is nothing wrong with the cross trainer. So if you're listening to this and you have a cross trainer, you're like, oh my God, did she just insult my bike? I'm not insulting the bike. I'm insulting the people who insult the bike, because it makes me feel like shit when somebody's like, oh, it's just a cross trainer or whatever. Whatever. It doesn't matter. Ride what you want to ride. The cross trainer is a great bike for smaller people with a smaller frame who want the full-sized bike power. So, anyways, the biggest reason I want to get rid of it is just because of the suspension. Honestly, it's kind of hindering me at this point. But I could improve on that without selling the bike. All right, so that's pretty much all I've got for today. As always, any comments, questions, suggestions, hit me up in the comments below if you're watching this on YouTube, or send me an email if you're listening to my podcast. The email is in the show notes, and I will catch you next time.